Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Pei Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Pei Aleph, we notice a Mishnah. Mi shenischayev b'shtei misois beizdin. Someone who violated two averis, both of whom are guilty of a capital offense. However, they are of different punishable nature. Nidon b'chamura. The violator will be judged by the more severe penalty. Ovar avera shenischayev shtei misois, nidon b'chamura. Rabbi Yossi omer, nidon b'zika harishona sheba olav. This is a situation of the ovar avera, one offense that has in it two elements, shtei misos. An example of that would be someone who had relations with a woman who was both his mother-in-law and she happened to be a married woman. In other words, one's mother-in-law who was married. So within her, you have two types of forbidden relations. You have a mother-in-law element and an ashes ish element. Both of those are punishable by different punishments. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says, instead of what the Tanakhama says in that case, that one gets the more severe penalty, according to Rabbi Yossi, one would get what's called the Zika Rishona, Sheba Olav. What is meant by Zika Rishona? The answer to that is the first prohibition that confronted this man with regard to the woman. In other words, if she was a woman who was an almona, let us say, when he became a bar mitzvah, and she happened to be an almona with a daughter, and this fellow married the daughter of the almona. At the point that he married the daughter, what was she to him? What was the mother-in-law to him? Just a mother-in-law. She was not married. If subsequently she remarried, so then we would say that his mother-in-law has two problems with regard to him, and he will be judged, fi Rabbi Yossi, the Zika Rishona, which in our example would have been Chamoso. Continuing in the Gemara. The opening line of the Mishnah is a bit confounding. The opening line of the Mishnah seems to say something that's very obvious. What did it say? Someone who was guilty of two offenses, he's judged by the more severe offense. Well, if he had done only the severe offense, he would have been punishable by that. By having done an additional, less severe offense, would one have thought that he should be given a discount, so to speak? So the Gemara asks, Pshita, Ela isguri isgur. It's obvious that if a person violated two offenses, one of which was more severe than the other, he would be punished by the more severe punishment. Would you have thought, isguri means rewarded, would you have thought that he should be rewarded by having done an additional lighter offense and get the lighter penalty? Of course not. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Omar Rava, hocha b'mayaskinon, kegoin she'ova avera kala. The case of the Mishnah features someone that initially violated a capital offense of a relatively light nature, v'nigmar dino al avera kala, and he received a verdict to be killed for that particular offense, v'chozar v'ovar avera chamura, and after the gmar din for the avera kala, for the lesser offense, he went ahead and violated a more severe offense. And the Mishnah is telling me that even though there was a Gemar Din for the lighter offense, he will be judged by the more severe offense. Salka daita chamina. I would have thought, without the Mishnah, kevan de nigmar dino lavera kala, since there was a final verdict stated concerning the original lesser offense, hai gavra ketelahu, he is viewed as a dead man. And if that be the case, there's no room, if he's considered as if in the one's legal mind's eye, as if he's dead already, so there's no room to add a more severe penalty. Komash Malan, the Mishnah informs us that even though there was a Gemar Din for the lesser offense, he can still be judged for the more severe offense that he violates later. Bomine Achvo de Rav Yosef bar Chama Mirabo bar Noson. Minoho Milso de Omar Rabbanan. So the brother of Rav Yosef asked a question of Rabbo bar Noson. What is the basis for the teaching that we just saw? Mishin is chayev shtei misos besdin. Someone who violated two capital offenses. Nidon b'chamura. He's judged by the more severe offense, even though there had previously been a gemar din for the lighter offense. So what's the source for that? The Gemara now provides an answer, and we have marked it as a long answer. You notice the encircled tuf to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with an extended vertical dashed line indicating the length of the answer. The Gemara will be quoting a pasuk from Yechezkel, and then after the pasuk quote, the Gemara will then break it up. What we've done with the markings, if you scan ahead, you can see some phrases underlined. Those are the psukim, and you'll see some phrases that are double underlined. Those are the misos bezdin that are associated with each one of the offenses. So first we read the pasuk. Dichtiv, v'hoilid ben poritz shofech dam, el hehorim ochal v'es eishes re'ehu timei, ve'el hagilulim nosa enov, to'eva osa. Now the Gemara breaks down the pasuk. V'hoilid ben poritz shofech dam. Shofech dam is a reference to a murderer, and the penalty for murder is besayef, death by the sword. Es eishes re'u timei, that's a quote from the pasuk. Zu eishes ish, that's a reference to conducting immorality, intimacy with a married woman, and the penalty for that is bechenek. V'el hagilulim nosoinov, zu avodis kochovim, which is biskila. Uksiv. The pasuk says, and we've written in the earlier part of the pasuk, as kol ha-to'evo yiso'ele osa, someone who did all of these, mois yumos dom of bo yihyeh. The expression dom of bo equals beskila. So what do we see? We see multiple offenses in varying degrees of severity, and he's judged with the most severe penalty. The Rashi points out here, biskila, the chol de mehem bom, when you see an expression like that, and we had in this pasuk the words domov bo, equals biskila, the hi chamura. Ve'i de lo nigmar dino ikoidem lochein, if in this illustration there had not been a final verdict for one of the earlier lesser offenses, lo istrachro lashminon, there would have been no purpose in the pasuk telling me that there is a skila death penalty. That would have been very obvious. The Gemara asks a question regarding our explanation of the pasuk. The question itself is a long question, as you can see from the encircled kuf in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. Maskif lo Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. He raises an objection. One could not one say that all of the phrases of this pasuk could be interpreted as offenses all punishable by skila, by stoning? As follows. V'hoilid ben poritz shofech dom, ze ben soromore de beskila. Now you'll ask, how do you see a reference to ben soromore here? So first of all, the pasuk says ben poritz, and shofech dom is a reference to murder, and that's what is anticipated to be the behavior of the ben soror umora in the end. So al shem sofo, regarding his eventuality, he's referred to right now as a shofech dam, and we know that the punishment for a ben sora mora is dibeskila. Eish yisrael timei, the posuk that referred to a married woman, zu nara hamurasa dibeskila. That form of marital level results in a skila penalty, the nara hamurasa. V'el hagilulim nosoinov, zu avodes kechovim. Idol worship. The beskila, that too is beskila. Notice with our markings, in addition to underlining the phrases from the pasuk, we've also dot underlined the punishment. As you can see, it repeats each stage the same punishment, skila. So the Gemara answers, if that were the case, that the pasuk is reflecting multiple averis that are all of a skila nature, im kein mai komashmlon yecheskel. So what novelty value is there in the pasuk that Yechezkel is teaching? There has to be some type of chidush, some kind of new law or revelation that is taught, other than a simple list of averis. Hence, it's more likely to adopt the first approach that we had just above. The Gemara asks, Dilma Torah Komahadir, maybe Yechezkel's point here is simply to go over, to review halachas in the Torah. The Gemara answers, if that was Yechezkel's purpose, imkeni boilei la'adura, then he should have done a review, ki hechi da'adra Moshe Rabbeinu, just like Moshe Rabbeinu did a review in the Mishneh Torah, in Sefer Dvorim. Dorash Rav Acha Rabbi Chanina, my dichtiv. The Gemara continues here with a reference to the psukim in the same area in Yechezkel, Perek Yudches. This is from Pasuk Vav. The pasuk there says, El hehorim lo ochal, shelo ochal bezchus avoisov. The pasuk is describing the tzaddik as someone who did not need to draw from the merits of his forefathers, because he himself was extremely pious. The word horim is a reference to the avois. So the pasuk is saying, Elohorim lo achal, he did not need to consume, to eat from the avos. He didn't need to draw merits from them. The Einov lo noso el gilulei beis Yisrael. What does that mean? Shelo holach b'koyma zekufa. He did not walk in a haughty, erect position. The es Yisrael lo timei. What does that mean? Shelo yorad l'umenus chavero. It goes without saying that the phrases that are underlined are all quotes from that pasuk. So this last phrase that said this, Reish Eishes Reu Lo Timei, it means Shelo Yorad Lumenus Chavero. He didn't open up competition to his friend's craft. If his friend already had a position, he did not try to compete. The El Isha Nida Lo Kirev, Shelo Yinane Mikupa Shel Tzedakah. That he didn't benefit from charity funds. Uksiv tzadik hu choyo yichye. That one who does this, at this point it sounds like one who does all of the things we just mentioned, he will live. Based on that reading, kishehoya ravon gamliel magila mikra hazeh, when Rav Gamliel would reach this pasuk in his learning, hoya boiche, he would cry. The Omar, and he would say in an exclamation, in wonderment, he would say, "Man diovid lukulu, hu dechayi bechado minay lo chayi." Is it necessary for one to practice to be nizer in all of these things in order to live? And if one practices one of the above mentioned, it's not sufficient. It doesn't provide sufficient merit for one to live. Omar le Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responds to Gamliel and says, you shouldn't learn like you just did, namely suggesting that it's in order to achieve the bracha of choyo yichye, one has to do it all. That even though the pasuk provides a list of elements, when learning the list, one does not necessarily have to say that it's all inclusive. And he proves this from a pasuk, although the pasuk is featuring the negative, nevertheless, the point is made. Omalei Rabbi Kiva, Elo Me'ata. If you look in the Torah in Vayikra Yudches, the pasuk says, Al Titamu Bechol Eilev. Don't violate all of these things. Hochinami Bekulhu In Bechado Minayu Lo. Is this suggesting that one is restricted from violating, one is restricted only if he attempts to violate all of the elements that were mentioned beforehand. The Torah in Vayikra, Perek Yudches, features all kinds of forbidden relations. So, is one going to say that what the Torah is restricting is one who practices all of them, but it would be all right to practice one of them? That's not true. Elo bi'achas mikol eile. When the pasuk says al titamu b'chol eile, it means don't vilify yourself in even one of the things in the list. Hachinami, so too in our previous pasuk, which was featuring positive behavior, b'achas mikol eile. Even if one practices one of those above mentioned positive things, one will merit what the pasuk says, choyo yichye. Ovar avira. Tanya. We have a Tanaic source, which will be featuring the Shitas Rav Yossi that we saw already in the Mishnah, that said, Nidon Bezika Rishona. And we featured this in our topic heading on the side under the title, No Say. Continuing in the Gemara, the Tanaic source that the Gemara quotes, you can see it's in a frame as all Tanaic sources are in our Gemara marking system. Ketzad Omar Rav Yossi Nidon Bezika Rishona Haba Olav. What we explained in the Mishnah, when we were learning the Mishnah, the Brisa itself asks, what is meant by Rabbi Yossi's halacha that he's judged bezika harishona, the first relationship that comes upon him? The Brisa provides two examples. Chamoso, venasis eishes ish, nidon bechamoso. If a person married the daughter of a woman who was not married, she was a widow, and the widow had a daughter, and someone married the daughter. So the son-in-law's relationship with regard to her mother is one of chamoso alone, because otherwise she's not a married lady. If after he married the daughter, the mother of his wife herself remarried, that's what it means, v'nasis eshesi, she became a married woman, which carries with it a chenek penalty. So let's go over this. A chamosa, mother-in-law, carries with it a sreifa penalty. A shesish carries with it a chenek penalty. So if after his mother-in-law remarried, the son-in-law then conducted illicit relations with his mother-in-law, nidon the chamoso, he's judged as if having violated the first element she had, namely the chamoso status, mother-in-law status, which yields a sreifa penalty. There's another situation. Eishesish, there was a married lady, and I had not yet married her daughter. Vinas is chamoso, and I then married the daughter of a married woman. She starts off, as an eishesish, she starts off with a chenek penalty. If afterwards I went ahead and married her daughter and then contemplated having illicit relations with her mother, that carries with it a sreifa penalty. But since the first shaychus, the first association that the fellow had with this woman was a chenek relationship, nidon be'eshes ish. If he does go ahead after he married her daughter, then went and had relations with the mother-in-law, he would be penalized with a chenek penalty. Even though that very same woman that he was having the intimacy with carried with her a more severe sreifa penalty. Omalei Rav Ado Baravo Le Rava. Chamosoi venasis eishes ish, nidon b'chamoso. The case we just saw above, the first example, where the woman was first a chamoso, first a mother-in-law, because someone had married, the fellow had married her daughter while the mother of his wife was still an almona, and then she subsequently remarried. We said that he's judged with the chamoso penalty, the sreifa penalty. So he asks, Rav Ada asks, Lidoin nami aisur eishes ish. Why not judge him also as having violated eishes ish? You'll ask, well, but there's a rule, ein isur chalal isur, and Rabbi Yossi clearly holds that way. We saw him to say that even a more severe penalty does not chal on a lesser penalty. So certainly a lesser penalty should not chal on a more severe penalty. But even so, even though ein isur chalal isur, nevertheless, if the second penalty is an isur moisif, in other words, if the second status that the woman achieves is a situation where beforehand she was mutter to other people, and as a result of gaining her second status, in this case the Ashes Ish status, she now, whereas before she remarried, she was usur only to the son-in-law as chamoso, but she was an almona, so therefore she was mutter to all other men. Now that she remarried, that very same woman becomes usur to all other men. And there is an understanding, and it states the following, that Miku, since she became forbidden to all other men as an Ashes Ish, she also takes on an Ashes Ish status with regard to the son-in-law as well. That's called Isur Moisif. So the question here is, why is it that in the case of Chamoso Venasis Ashes Ish, where she was first having a chamoso status, a mother-in-law status, because she was an almona, and then subsequently became an Ashes Ish, why is it that Rav Yossi says that he's judged only as having violated the chamoso avera? Let him be judged also as having violated Ashes Ish. Continuing in the Gemara, the ha'amar Rav Yavo, moide Rav Yossi be iser mosif. Rav Yossi agrees that even though in general he holds ein isur chalal isur, where you're dealing with an isur moisif as we described just before, he's moda that the second isur is chal. Therefore, the simple question is, should he not be judged also for isur eishes ish in addition to chamosa? Omar le ado bri. So he answers, betray katli katlisle. Rav Ada bar Ava had asked Rava this question. Rava had responded and says, Rava says, Ado, my son, Ado Bri, Ado, my son, what do you think, that we're going to give him two deaths? Once you convict him on the grounds of the first offense, the Zika Rishona, there's no room, he's dead already, you can't kill him a second time. It's pointed out, though, in the Rashi that the manifestation of Isur Moisif within Shitas Rav Yossi could take place if the act was done inadvertently, b'shogeg. Then there would be an issue of bringing two sacrifices. The Gemara now features a Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we're going to notice a bow tie marking. We can title this sugya in a rather general form and call it kippah, situation where a person is put into a very squalid, confined location and left to die. In other words, it's not a formal court execution, but because of a particular violation or series of violations, this is the way he is going to be treated. The bowtie form that we see in the Mishnah is explained on the side under the Mivneh heading, Ma'achilin. We feed him. Ma Ma'achilin Oisoi B'kipa. What do we feed him when he is in this squalid location? We will see in this Mishnah one type of food that's given to him, and in a subsequent Mishnah, which also deals with the issue of kippah, something else is featured. And the Gemara will deal with that later on. The Mishnah says, Misha Loka Vishana, someone who was lashed and a second time, based in Machnisin Oisoy L'kippah. If he, at that point then, he's put into the squalor location, we'll have to see, what does it mean when we say at that point? Is there any additional violation that's necessary? Umachilin oso seorin Ad shekreso misbakas, and we feed him barley until his stomach cracks. The Gemara asks, Vishum daloka vishana based in koinsin oisoi lekipa, because he was lashed twice. That's reason for the kippah treatment, and the kippah treatment leads to death. For example, if one ate some pork, eating pork is high of malchus. Now, if he ate it twice, and he received malchus twice, does that mean that he's high of the kippah treatment? Obviously, no. The question is, what is the Mishnah talking about? So in order to appreciate this, to answer this, we can just turn to our Nosei comment on the side. Two Pirushim, Lamahu Loka Vashana, based in Machnisin Oisei Lekipa. We'll see in our Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah is featured with a number one here. In the first wide line, you'll see Rabbi Yankiv is featured as number two. Two explanations. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish. Hacha, here in our Mishnah, B'malkiyos Shalchrisus Askinon. We're talking about a person who violated a negative command in the Torah that is punishable by Kores, by being cut off. However, before he violated it, let's just use as an example, eating a food on Yom Kippur carries with it a penalty of Kores. Let us say that he was warned beforehand that if he violates, if he goes ahead and eats that sandwich on Yom Kippur, he was warned that he will be lashed. The result of such a warning is that he is in fact given malchus. It's a hasro on an avera sheyesh bo kores, and the warner mentioned, the one who was warning mentioned that he would get malchus, even though it's not necessarily par for the course. But if he was warned that he will be subject to malchus, the malchus will be given. So that's what we're talking about here. It's not a standard, simple, negative commandment in the Torah, which doesn't carry with it a penalty, of course. But we're talking about a lav sheyesh bo kores, and that's rather severe. De gavra bar ketola hu. Someone who violated a krisus-type offense, he is subject to death by heaven. That's bidei shamayim. Ukruvi hu delo mikrov katle. But after having violated this severe offense once, he hasn't yet come close to death. The kevan de komevater le nafshe, by the fact that he is giving up on himself, he is voiding himself, he's mafkir himself to averis, to these kinds of offenses, by having repeated these kinds of offenses. In other words, it's not a one-time situation, but after having repeated it, he's showing that he doesn't really care about his own life. Mekarvinon le lekat le iluya. We simply draw his inevitability or his death all that closer. Amalei Rav Yankiv l'Rav Yirmiya bar Tachlifa. Ta azbro lach. Come, I will explain to you the Mishnah. The Malkias shel kores achas. We're talking about someone who violated the same offense already a couple of times. In other words, he did the offense once, got lashed. Did the offense again, got lashed. If he does the offense a third time, he's showing us he doesn't really care about his own life. He's doing the same offense three times. That's reason to put him in the kippah. However, Avol shel shtayim v'shel shalosh krisus. If a person, let us say, violated different types of kores offenses, in other words, he ate on Yom Kippur, he had conducted intimacy with his sister, and he did another kind of kores offense. There are three different kinds of kores. We say as follows, we're not going to put him in the kippah. Why? Isuri hu dekotoyim. He was trying to taste the feeling of that which is prohibited. A certain type of evil inclination came over him to taste different kinds of offenses. However, velo mevater kulehai, but he's not really showing how showing that he does not care about living. Mi Shaloka Vishana. The Mishnah spoke about someone who was lashed and did it again, a second time. So the Gemara here is Medayik, wants to infer. Shana af agav delo shilesh. Two times, and he receives kippah, even though a third time was not done. The issue of two and three is a machlokes Rebbe and the Chachom and Rebbe Shimon Liel in the realm of establishing a status. Is a new status gained after two times the event takes place, or after three times an event takes place? According to Rebbe, after two times a new status is established. According to Rav Shimon Liel, after three times a new status is established. Of course, we are talking in very general terms. The Gemara now will get into details. As we mentioned, the inference was made from the Mishnah. The fact that the Mishnah taught something having been repeated twice and no reference to three. Lemo masnisen delo k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Let us suggest that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rav Shimon Liel. D'i Rav Shimon Liel, ho'omar at tlas zimni lo havia chazoka. We know that Rav Shimon Liel had said that up till three times, namely up till not including three, you don't establish a new status. Yet in our Mishnah we said that even before three, a new status is established. So it sounds like our new status, meaning someone who is now fit to be put into the kippah, whereas beforehand, no, but after two times, yes. So that sounds like a Mishnah reflecting Rebbe's opinion as opposed to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Before we go on, this is how we've titled our sugya on the side. You see the Nosei heading, Loka Vishana. The words of our Mishnah that was lashed and repeated, Mashma Pamayim, sounds like two, Udolo K'Rabbi Shimon Liel, which is not in accordance with Shimon Liel's idea of a status establishment requiring three times. Before we go further anymore, we want to take note of another marking. This is the house marking that you can see as you go on in the next couple of lines. We'll be assuming a reversed position and then repositioning itself. This is an attempt to keep track. We call this a ma'akav under our mivne heading. With the point facing up, this reflects Ravina, and the point facing down will be an attempt to ask on Ravina. So Omar Ravina, Afinu Tema Rav Shimon Liel. Our Mishnah can conform to Rav Shimon Liel, who requires three. So, do you see an element of three in the Mishnah? The answer is yes. Kosovar, averois machzikos. Machzikos means to establish a new chazoka, or in this case, the status of a major sinner, someone who's fit for the kippah. Do we see three averos in the Mishnah? Three times offending something. So, in fact, all our Mishnah mentioned was someone who was lashed, and lashed again. What does that mean? He did an offense, that's number one, and was lashed. Did a second offense, and was lashed again. That's what Vishana meant, a second lashing. At what point is he put into the kippah? Not after the second lashing, but it's after the third Avera commission, the third violation. So Ravina is saying that our Mishnah can reflect Rav Shimon Liel, and our Mishnah is of the opinion that averos machzikos. So you don't need lashings three times in order to machzik him as a rasha, but it's sufficient that you have the commission of an offense three times. But there is a requirement of three. Meisvei, we raise an objection from the following Tanaic source. Avar avera sheyesh bo malchus. Person violated an offense that carries with it a penalty of lashing. Pam rishonu shniya malkin oso. After the first and second time, we lash him. Ushlishes koinsin oisoi lekipa. At the third time, he's put into the kippah location. Abba Shol Omer Af Bishlishis Malkin Oisai. Even for the third violation, he is lashed. Beravias Kaisen Oisai Lekippah. We see a Machlokis Tanoim. Tanakama versus Abba Shol. And at this point, the Gemara wants to understand what is their point of machlokis. My love, is it not so? De kule almo malchios machzikos, that according to all Tanaic opinions, malchos is that which establishes chazaka. And by the way, this will not be good for Ravina's cause, because Ravina mentioned averos machzikos under the name of the chachamim. We've dashed underline these key phrases. Ravino's phrase of averos machzikos, and here we've dashed underline that kulei amar are holding. Everyone is going to hold malchios machzikos, lashings. The expected number of lashings is what establishes status. Ubeplukta the Rebbe Reb Shimon ben Gamliel komifligi, and the machlokas Tanakam and Abba Shol parallels the machlokas Rebbe and Reb Shimon. Let's go over this. According to the Tanakama, how many lashings did we see? We saw two. After the third violation, he's put into the kippah, but that's because after two lashings, he was established as a Rosha. We couldn't put him immediately into the kippah because he got punished by the second set of lashings. However, as far as a new status is concerned, that is established already after two. According to Abba Shol, that said three, the third offense also yields Malkus. In other words, when he sins a third time, he will then get Malkus. That's and only after that could he be put into the kippah. That's because Abba Shol reflects Rav Shimon Leal's opinion that you need three lashings in order to gain a new status. But once again, the main point here, and this is the end of our long question that began with the Meisvei, we're at a point holding that all opinions hold that what creates the new status? The lashings. The number of lashings. But not the number of times the violation was committed. And that's a question on Ravina. Lo, the Gemara rejects the question, and this, as you can see with the house point facing up, is a defense now of Ravina, because it's in the same direction as Ravina's original comment. The kulei almo is lehu Rav Shimon Gamliel. All Tanoim, including the Tanakama, accept Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion that you need three times. You need three times to establish a chazaka. V'ha'cha v'ha komifliki. We should have pointed out that the appearance of these diamonds is explained on the side, under the Mivneh heading. There are three diamonds, are Gimel Gishois, three approaches, the Hasbir HaMachlokes Bein Tanakama V'Abba Shol, to explain this controversy between the Tanakama and Abba Shol, B'mi She'ovar Avera Kama Pa'amim, regarding the issue of someone who is involved with multiple violations. So the defense position taken by the Gemara right now for Ravina is as follows. That everyone will agree that you need three times to establish a chazoka, like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. V'hocha v'hocha miflegi, the Mar Sovar, the Tanakama holds, averos machzikos. We've dashed underline that because this is the main point. This is like Ravina. And that's what Ravina said, that according to the Chachomim, the number of times, the Chazoka is dependent on the number of times the offense is committed, and hence we're machnesim lekippah after he's done the avera three times. Umor sovar Abba Shol will hold that malchios machzikos, that his new status is gained only after he gets lashed three times. We've put into our markings a semicolon to indicate that the flow is not a smooth flow into the next question, because this question is not directed on Ravina per se. This point is brought out in the Rashi as well. V'ha d'tanya. We have a Tanaic source. that features two situations. Hisru bo v'shasak, a person was warned and remained silent. He didn't acknowledge in a verbal form that he heard the warning and indicates he doesn't care anyway. In this case, he heard the warning and remained silent. Hisru bo v'hirkin rosho. He received the warning and nodded his head, indicating that he heard the warning, but he didn't verbally accept it. So that even though these hasros will not result in malchus, nevertheless, they are considered hasros to establish that he is a rosha. So the source goes on. So we have this case of Hisru bo v'shasak or Hisru bo v'hirkin rosha, pam rishon u'shniya masrin bo. This can happen one time, a second time. We will warn him. No lashes, though. Shlishis koinsin oisoi l'kipa. Abashol omer af b'shlishis masrin bo. Even approaching the third time, he gets a warning. B'revius koinsin oisoi l'kipa. Now we have a machlokis here, and we've highlighted the machlokis with a dashed underline. The Tanakhama holds Shlishis Kaisen Oysa Lekipa, and Abba Shol holds Berevias Kaisen Oysa Lekipa. So we have 3 and 4 featured over here. V'hasa Malkus Leka. Here, there is not an issue of Malkus, because there is no Malkus. Hence, to explain Abba Shol, like we did above, as holding that Malkios Machzikos, we don't have that over here. So what's this? What's the need for a fourth violation that is indicated by Abba Shol? Omar Ravina. Notice we have Ravina in a diamond. He presents a new approach to to the original source that we already saw two explanations for, and Ravina is going to be explaining the most recent source of Hisru bo v'shasak, but his explanation also covers the previous source as well. Hence we are labeling him with a diamond, indicating he is presenting a new explanation to the original source. The machlokes here is Bekipa Tzricho Hasra Komiflegi. Before putting one into the kippah, is it necessary for him to hear a warning concerning the kippah? After the first warning and the second warning, there was no need to mention kippah. The warnings were given only in anticipation of giving the offender malchus. He doesn't get malchus because of a technicality, because he remained silent. He didn't verbally accept the warning. However, after the first offense, or let's say prior to the first offense, though a warning was given, and prior to the second offense, though a warning was given, there's no mention of kippah. After the third offense, he's put into the kippah because, according to the Tanakhama, kippah does not need special hasra. According to Abba Shol, though, that even though he was lashed twice, when he violates the third time, if he doesn't hear a warning concerning the kippah, he won't be put into the kippah. Before we go any further in the Gemara, we'll just finish the line again. Let's read this line again, and then we'll turn to Rashi for more in-depth explanation. Omer Avino, Bekipa Tzricho Hasra Komiflegi. The machlokus between the Tanakhama and Abba Shol revolves around the issue concerning the need for Hasra regarding the Kippah. So we look at Rashi, Dibur Maschil, Omer Ravina, lower down, we see, he says, Bein Hocha, Bein B'masnisa Komaisa, whether it be this most recent source or the source before, Bekipa Tzricho Hasra Komiflegi. The issue concerning a warning before being put into the kippah. Udekuliamok of Shumam Leo. And everyone holds like Shumam Leo. This, of course, is beneficial for the discussion we saw before, that everyone holds that you need 3 to establish a status.
V'lo huchsuk ad sholosh averos shel hasruas malchus mukubalos. And there is no new status gained until there would be three averos of hasruas malchus that were accepted. The warnings were accepted. There were three warnings concerning malchus. Obafiv, they were accepted either verbally, as would have been the case in the first Tanaic source, oy b'shtika o b'harkonas rosh, or through silence or nodding of a head, as we saw in the second source. The komiflagi, the controversy between the Tanakama and Abashol is b'kipa yitzricha asra. Does kipa need warning? Tanakama savar kevon shehuchsuk rosha al sholosh hasros, since he has been established as an evil person because he was warned three times. Let's read that again. Shuchzik Rosha al Sholosh Hasros Shel Malchus. Three times he received the warning that he would get lashed. Koinsin Oisei L'Kipa V'Yafapi Shelo Husra Al Kach. So if he was warned and then violated, in other words, he was warned he would get Malchus and then violated, warned that he would get Malchus and then violated, and a third time warned that he would get Malchus and then violated. So we see three warnings and, of course, three offenses. At that point, according to the Tanakama, you can put him right away into the kippah. After the third offense, which was preceded by a third warning concerning Malchus. Even though, in other words, he's put into the kippah, even though no mention was made of kippah beforehand. The Abashal Savar al Gimel Hasrosh Shel Malchus Huchzik Rosha V'lo al Hashtayim. In the example we just gave, after the three warnings and violation, he would be established as a Rosha, and not after two. However, even though he received three warnings and in fact violated three times, nevertheless, we need a fourth offense to be committed to be preceded by a warning. The fourth offense is basically a premise to create a warning to precede it, and the warning at that point would be a warning that if he does this a fourth time, he will be put into the kippah. Turning back to the Gemara. Umay kippah. What is this? What is this thing called kippah? Omar of Yudah? Malo komoso. It wouldn't be accurate to call it a room, but it's a small space that has a ceiling, a low ceiling, basically a ceiling that corresponds to his height. Vehecha remiza. Rashi points out that this whole procedure of kippah, of putting someone into this squalid alcove and leaving him to die, has to be heavenly ordained. It's called halacha lemoshe misinai. However, the question that the Gemara is asking, where is there a hint to it anyway in the scriptures? So it's basically, we're working with the assumption, it's basically halacha lemoshe misinai, an oral tradition. But is there a hint to it in the scriptures? Amar Reish Lakish, he says, yes. To Moises Rosha Ra'ah. The Rashi explains, to Moises Rosha Ra'ah, mi shehuchsuk Rosha, to mi sesoi Ra'asoi. That someone who is established as a Rosha, that's what the Pasuk says, to Moises Rosha Ra'ah, that his death will be bad. Alma muhsuk rasha bar misahu. We see a hint to this idea that someone who is established as a rasha will be destined to death. Continuing in the Gemara, Yom Reish Lakish, my dechtiv, what is meant by the following pasuk? Ki gam lo yeda ha'adam es ito, kedogim shine'echozim b'metzoido ra'ah. A person doesn't know when his time is up, just like fish that are in a bad trap. Mitzodo ra. My mitzodo ra. What is meant by a bad trap? Ostensibly, all traps are bad for the fish. So what's the bad one? Omresh Lakish, choka, a hook. Rashi explains that the hook in and of itself is a very flimsy little entity. However, that little hook can catch on it a very big fish. And that's what's referred to here as something that's a mitzoida ro'o. Hahoreg nefesh shaloi bi'edim, machnisin oisoi l'kipo. If someone commits a murder and there are no witnesses, and as a result of no witnesses, the Beis Din cannot act. So this person, nevertheless, is put into the kippah. U'machivin oisoi lechem tsar u'mayim lachatz. And he's fed the bread of affliction and the waters of lachatz. The Gemara asks, Minoy Adinon, if he killed without witnesses, how do we know he committed the murder? The topic heading we have on the side, the Nosei, we see Gimel Tirutzim, three answers, Letaretz, Eich, to explain, Eich Machnis in the Kippah, how do we put someone in the Kippah, in Ein Olav Edim Shirasach, if there are no witnesses, to testify that he murdered. Omar Rav. Rav is number one. Be'edus miyuchedes. Rashi points out, Be'edus miyuchedes, Dishnayim mi'idim alov. There are two people saying testimony, Be'edus and emes, Eloshein misoso misrula beizdin, Kigon shnayim royin oisoi, Echod mechalon zev, Echod mechalon zev. You have two people that see the murder take place. The two witnesses are not standing together, but one is positioned in one window and the other is positioned in another window, and they're looking down and see the murder taking place. That since the witnesses are not together, they're positioned at separate windows, they don't constitute a legitimate form of testimony. However, over here, we're teaching the Ayel Kippah, that he is put into the Kippah. Aval alpi eid echod motzi dibo b'amuhu. However, we would never be able to put someone into the Kippah if there was just one person testifying. So we have this type of testimony called edus miuchedes. We can say it's a type of split two witnesses, separate two witnesses, but they are nevertheless two. And simply because of this technicality that the witnesses are not together, the court cannot execute him. But we do know, based on their testimony, he committed a murder. So he's put into the kippah. Ushmuel Omar Shelo Bahasra. Shmuel says that there are two witnesses. However, they didn't warn him. And as a result of that, the court execution cannot be carried out. Rav Chista Omar Avimi Kegoin Dis Kachush Bivdikos. We're talking about two witnesses that contradicted each other on the Bedikos level questions, the lo iskachush bechakiros, but did not contradict each other on the Hakiro type questions. The Hakiro questions involve the issues primarily of time and place. However, if they did not contradict each other on Hakira level questions, we don't throw them out and declare them as simply null and void. However, there was contradiction on the Bedikos level questions. As a result of that, we cannot accept their testimony for the purposes of carrying out a court execution. And there's a Tana that holds like this, that contradiction on a Bedikos level question is a significant type contradiction. Kiddisnan, Maiseu Borak Ben Zakai, Be'uktse Teinim. We know that Ben Zakai questioned witnesses in a case of a capital offense regarding the color of the fig stems. Before going on in the Gemara, let us take a look at Rashi, Be'ukseitainim, Bedikos Yiserahu. It's an extreme form of questioning. Unehi de Ben Zakai Potar Lebohu Hakosha. Granted, Ben Zakai took these kind of questions very seriously, and if there's contradiction on the Bedika level, he declares the testimony void. Miktala. let us read that again. Potole behu hakosha mikatlo. Ben Zakkai declares him free from execution because of this contradiction in the Bedikos. Miu edus emes hu v'ayo lekipo. It's not as if Ben Zakkai lets the guy off the hook altogether. He frees him from the standard court execution. However, he doesn't free him to go on the street, and rather the court is able to place him in the kippah. Umachilin oisoi lechem tsar umayim lachatz. The Gemara asks, "My shno hocho? What is different about our Mishnah? De katoni noisin lo lechem tsar umayim lachatz? That the person, the offender, when put into the kippah, he's fed with this limited bread and water. Umay shno hasam, the Mishnah beforehand, and we have an arrow here to help you find where this is coming from. You'll notice a parallel arrow on the upper part of the page. Dikotoni, the earlier Mishnah said, machilino so sorim ashikreso mizbakas, that he's fed barley until his stomach cracks. The Gemara answers, Omar of Sheshes, Edi v'Edi, both Mishnayas are in agreement, and they're simply complementary. Noistem lo lechem tsar umayim lachas, he's fed with this bread of affliction and mayim lachas, ad she yuktan mayano, until his innards contract, v'hodar machilino so soirim, and then he's fed barley, ad she kreso misbakas. The barley effect was one of an expansive effect, so that once the stomach contracted, the consumption of the barley will result in the rupturing of the keres, and he will die. Hagoyinu desakasvo, v'amakalel b'koisem, v'haboyol aramis. We will explain the details of this Mishnah in the course of the Gemara. Kanoyin poigin bo, one who does one of these things, he subjects himself to being killed by one of the kanoyim. Kayin shishimesh betumo, ein echov hakoyanim mevin oisoy lebeisdin, a kohen who served in the Beis Hamikdash in an impure state, so his fellow kohanim don't bring him to Beis Din. Ela pirchekuna moitzino isoy chutz lazara. The young kohanim take him, escort him to the outside of the courtyard, of the temple courtyard. Umafzion esmoichay begzirin. They smash his head with sticks. Zor shishimesh b'mikdash. If a non-kohen worked in the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Akiva omer bechenek, it's punishable by death through strangulation. V'chachomim omerim b'dei shemayim. He is chayav misa b'dei shemayim, but no further human intervention. My kasva, the Mishnah opened up by saying that someone who steals a kasva, kanoyim poginbo, the zealots can kill him. What's a kasva? Omar Rav Yehuda kli shores, one of the temple service vessels. V'chein hu omer v'es ksois hanesech. The pasuk itself, even though it's spelled here with a sin as opposed to a samach, it's the same expression. And the pasuk in Bamidbar Dalet is a reference to the temple utensils. V'hecho remiza, where is there a hint that death is something that is associated with stealing a temple utensil? So the pasuk says, "V'lo yavo lirois kevola es hakodesh v'mesu." That the pasuk itself is describing the travels in the midbar where the vessels were covered up before the trek continued. However, the expression that's used here, kibala es hakodesh, Rashi says that bala is a lashon ganov. It's a lashon of thievery. In what sense? Because the word bala itself means to be absorbed in. So Rashi explains shemavlin umachbin. The nature of thieves is that they hide things. Something that's absorbed into something else is also hidden. And Rashi says, "Veremes bi'almahu v'lo mikra nafik." The use of this pasuk is merely as a hint. It's not the actual pshat in the pasuk, though. Continuing in the Gemara, v'hamakalel b'koseim, Koni Rav Yosef, Yake Koisein es Koismoi. Rav Yosef explains in his source that what's taking place here is you have a Koisein, for lack of better expression, we'll refer to him as a sorcerer. The sorcerer is cursing heavenwards, and he's saying, and he views himself as if he has some type of cursing powers. So he's trying to say that he is cursing the one who provides the cosmos, the one who provides the knowledge and the force enabling sorcery to take place, which is a reference to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rabbonan v'itemo rabo bar mori amri. They say that the case of the Mishnah of Hamakali l'koisim is yakeu koisim loy ulekoinoi ulemaknoi. The Rashi explains a little bit more at the bottom. He says lo ulekoinoi ulemakno dahenu klapi malo shehu koines olam. He is the one that established the world. U mekane lebriyosov es tuvo, or makna lebriyosov es tuvo, and he grants his creations generosity. It can also be pointed out that the pshat here of the Rabbonan, when he says Yakeu Koisem Lo, Rashi in the previous Dibur HaMaskil says Yakeu Koisem Mekalel Es Chavero V'Omer Yakeu HaKoisem Hazeh. He is cursing his friend, and it seems he's cursing additionally heavenwards as well. So you have this sorcerer who is, according to this pshat of the Rabbanon, he's cursing his friend as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.